Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, howdy, everybody. It's Wednesday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 23rd, 2012, episode 410, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all. The day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and
well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us on what in Florida, at least, it's a beautiful Wednesday down here. But I've been dying to know, Jamie, about two things. One is, did they tape your husband to an airplane and fly him around the neighborhood yesterday? And two is your dog still alive and is he pooping blood? So let's start with Chad and whether they taped him to an airplane.
Okay. Well, I show up there, and they along with a bunch of other pilots, went out and took me on to the flight line, which is where basically they park the jet. And I'd never seen Chad flying a jet, so it's really cool to see him driving up and pull in and park, and I took a ton of pictures. And Chad's commander was sitting there, and they only call him Skate. So they're like, okay, when Skate gets out of the jet, here's the champagne. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do with the champagne? He goes, well, are you comfortable opening it? And I was like, no, because the second I open it, I'll pop the bottle of champagne and the little cork will fly into a jet engine and bust it into a million pieces. It'll be $20 million because that's how I roll.
And that is true.
It is, right? So I said, I'm not going to open the champagne. So he gives me this bottle, and I'm waiting for Chad, and I'm holding this bottle of champagne. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? Am I supposed to walk over to the jet and, like, break it on the jet? He's like, oh, God, no. No, 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 no. I'm like, it's like a boat. What am I supposed to do? I'm the worst Air Force wife in the history of Air Force wives. I just don't get it. So he says, okay, what you need to do is you're going to, I'll open it for you and then I'll hand it to you. And then when he gets down, you got to walk up to him and hand it to him. But you have to, and Jennifer, if you want to go ahead and post a picture on Facebook because somebody got the photo at the perfect moment, you're supposed to pour it over his head. So I was able to walk out there. I was like, baby, hey. And I kissed him and I poured the champagne right over his head. And he was kind of ready for it, but I think that he had some equipment and his phone in his pocket and stuff, and that did not make him happy. But I'm like, you knew it was coming. You should have put it away. So then I got to do that and pour it all over his head, and it was really fun. And everybody, you know, said words. And then we went to my prepared lunch. I had ordered 10 pizzas. So we went into the squadron, and everybody had pizza, and they had to give a speech. His commander gave a speech, and I guess, unbeknownst to me, it is tradition for the youngest person in the squadron to deliver flowers to the wife. So this little young, fresh lieutenant comes out with some flowers. What I also didn't know was tradition is that the young lieutenant is supposed to kiss the wife on the mouth.
What?
I no. did not see that one coming, as all of a sudden this guy, this sweaty guy, grabs me and dips me backwards and smooches me right on the lips. It was really weird. So not only did I get flowers, I kissed some other dude, and then my husband is supposed to come up and like push him away and kiss me again. It was, I'm like, you people are weird. What are these weird things you guys do?
First thing I thought of is this guy, you're a horse girl. First thing I thought of is a guy trying to kiss you, you know, without you giving permission, he could get decked.
I thought about it. It took me by such surprise, though. Somebody could get away with it at this point, because I was so shocked. And apparently, as soon as I was done, because he was really, he wasn't my husband. He was kind of sweaty and young and just, so I actually started fanning myself afterwards, because it actually made me really hot and embarrassed. And Chad's like, seriously? Some other guy kisses you and your reaction is to fan yourself like a Southern Belle? I'm like, I wasn't fanning myself like a Southern Belle. He was sweaty. So I got in trouble for that one, too. So all in all, it was a very interesting, exciting day. And, yeah, there you go. That's all. So how it went.
So instead of your husband getting duct taped to an airplane, you got kissed by a lieutenant.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. I guess they duct tape you to the airplane if you're never going to fly the jet again. He's not flying the jet again. He's just going to a different squadron. So I did not understand how everything worked, obviously. I was going to break the champagne on the jet and then, you know, get in big trouble for that. And there you go. So it went really well. No problem.
He's a captain, right? Or isn't he captain?
He's a major.
Yeah. So he's a major, right? And all I can think of, too, the other thing that struck me about that story, by the way, is that we have this big lunch for your husband going to a different unit and getting a, you know, basically getting a promotion and everything. And, you know, most officers' wives who have been officers' wives forever and take their part very seriously would have had a gourmet lunch with all this beef and little broccolis and little carrots and fine wine. No, Jamie, the major's wife, orders pizza. And probably the guys appreciated that more than they would have the little tiny steaks with the carrots.
I think that it was very popular because I ordered 10 pizzas and they were gone in about an hour. Like the whole time, by the time we left, everybody was full and all the pizza was gone. So I think I did fine. Now, the thing is, I have to go to another one of these today on base for the squadron commander and his wife. And I will report back to you what lunch is provided for then, because, you know, she is like the epitome of the super Air Force wife. So I have to go watch this whole thing again with Chad's boss, because he's going to some big fancy job in Washington, D.C., and this is his last time ever flying the jet.
So
I'll let you know. Yeah, he'll probably get duct taped and sprayed with water and everything like that.
So now this is going to be interesting, too, because you know, everybody that knows you from the show and listens on a regular basis knows that you're not the epitome of an Air Force wife, and probably never aspired to be. So this will be interesting to see how it. Do you think they all sit around, all the other Air Force wives who are all proper, sit around and talk about Chad's wife, that girl?
I can answer that question, my friend, and the answer is yes, because. This squadron has been actually really great, but I have been in other squadrons where before I was a wife, I was the girlfriend, and oh my God, the drama with the girlfriend. Whew, man, you are definitely second class. And then now that I'm a wife without children. I mean, oh my God. And then I have horses and like a farm and I'm like dirty all the time. It's so weird.
You definitely do not fit the stereotype.
You know what I did after this whole thing yesterday, though, Glenn? I gotta confess something. I'm like, you know, I was all Air Force wife today, and now I'm going on some, like, really extravagant vacation. You know what I did after the whole Finney flight yesterday? Just to feel a little Air Force-y, I went and got a mani-pedi. did. I got my nails painted red and I've already chipped off both pointer fingers. One day. Oh, God. Wait.
You know what? There's going to be a reality show called Officers' Wives someday, and they're going to come and ask you just to provide the drama.
Provide the comedy. There's no drama here. It's just all comedy.
And then
thanks
she'll be
for
announcing
making me feel
one
worse
more.
About myself, by the way. Thanks. I appreciate that.
No problem. One morning on the show, she's going to come on and say, I have to resign from my position here at Horses in the Morning because I'm going to be on a TV show. I'm going to be an officer's wife.
If they're casting for that, can you please let me know?
Okay. They definitely need you because the whole entire show would be the other wives talking behind your back about you. That'd be the whole show.
I'm definitely a little different, but that's okay. As horsewomen, we celebrate that about ourselves. We celebrate the fact that we may not be able to make a meal for 50 people. I just order pizza. And we may celebrate the fact that, you know, we don't have manicured nails. We have dirt underneath our fingers, and that is okay, too. I have now red nail polish with dirt underneath them, and you can actually see the dirt through the red. So yay me!
Well, that just took up half the show. Jennifer, what's coming up? And we need to find out about your doggy, but we'll do that in just a minute. What's coming up on today's show?
I think you guys have covered the whole show. No. On today's Amazon.com Wednesday edition, we open the show by opening the eyes of the horse world to a brand new concept in fixing an age-old problem for horse folks. But you have to stay tuned to find out what it is. And following an enthusiastic accounting of Glenn's crappy list, the horse.com returns this week presenting a requiem on the health issues affecting stabled steeds. And happy World Turtle Day, everyone.
Well, there you go. I didn't know that. Well, this is your turn. You're up first.
I don't even know what's coming up. Okay, well, I would like to give my daily Winnie to... So she doesn't really need a daily winning because her life is awesome anyway. I mean, not like this. I'm sure she's going to write this one down. Zara Phillips, the granddaughter of Queen Elizabeth. Write this down, Zara. You got a daily winning. Congratulations. That's a big deal. You're the queen's granddaughter, whatever you're like going to be possibly in the Olympics. But what's really awesome, too, you're advanced to the inventor. And you're like perfect. You're pretty. You're married to some like awesome guy. Your life is perfect. And now you get to carry the torch. You are going to carry the torch while riding your horse, Toy Town. Congratulations. She's going to be in the, let's see, she's going to light the celebratory cauldron signaling the end of the fifth day on the 70-day torch relay. So not only does she get to carry the torch, and not only is she the princess, and not only is she like this advanced inventor, amazingness, she actually gets to carry it on her horse. So she doesn't even have to do the jogging that the people have to do. You're awesome. She's so cool. Hate her.
Well, my daily Winnie is a daily Winnie and an announcement today that we're very happy to make here on Horses in the Morning. First place you're hearing this, actually. My daily Winnie goes out to Samantha Clark and Reese Koffler Stanfield, and I'm going to tell you why. We have some exciting changes coming to the network. Chris Stafford, who has hosted four of our shows, I believe, over a number of years, has decided to go on to other things. So we have some exciting staffing changes and some hosting changes coming up. And we're very excited to announce here for the first time on Horses in the Morning that the eventing show will have two co-hosts, but we can announce one of them now. We're working on the other one. But Samantha Clark of Eventing Nation has, and my old co-host on the 2010 radio show, has agreed to take over the co-host spot there on the Eventing radio show. Samantha, if you've heard her ever on the 2010, the WEG show that we did, is a terrific personality. She knows a ton about eventing. She used to be an eventer herself up to upper levels in England, and she does eventing coverage for Eventing Nation, and we're excited to have her on board. She's starting this week, actually. We're going to be doing a little show to welcome her this week on the Eventing Radio Show, so we're excited about that. And then a name that the Horses in the Morning Gang and listeners are familiar with every month here is Reese Koffler Stanfield. She is the one that comes on and gives us our recipes every month, is the Grand Prix Dressage Rider, and she has agreed to take over a co-host spot there on the Dressage Radio Show. We're so excited about having Reese on there. Reese is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to dressage. She's well-respected in the dressage community. She's a lot of fun, as you know, from doing recipes on our show. And we're hoping that with the changes here on those two shows, that we're going to really change them around a little bit. They're going to have a lot more segments to them. They're going to be a lot more geared to amateurs, amateur riders. They're going to be a lot more informational, providing actual riding tips. And we're just going to mix it up a bit and have it be different than it was before. So we have a new eventing radio show coming and a new dressage radio show coming. The dressage radio show will start next week. And I think both of them actually are going to fill in, Jamie, for you one day in the next couple of weeks, so that we can introduce them both to our audience here.
Well, that sounds awesome. I'm really excited. I think that this is a... this is where they need to go, you know, and speak a little bit more to our listeners and to the amateur riders and to people who may not know all the professional riders and really, what I'm trying to say is I'm really excited that Samantha's going to be on board. I love reading her stuff on Eventing Nation, and I absolutely, as you know, adore Reese Koffler Stanfield. So I want to know, though, is Reese still going to come on and give us our recipes? Because I love cooking what she does.
Actually, we brought that up last night when we had a phone call with her. We were finalizing things. And I said, Reese, does this mean we have to find a new somebody to do recipes? And she said, well, I am going to be pretty busy now, you know. And then Jennifer whined and complained a lot, and then she agreed to still come on and do recipes. So.
Oh, good. Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, she said, I can probably still fit you guys in. So I said, now that she's, you know, this diva and everything hosting the show, she's still going to have time.
She was already a diva. I know. She's a Grand Prix dressage rider. She's born a diva. And I mean,
so
that
we're very excited
in the nicest
about that.
Possible way.
All right, really bad ads. We're going to do it this week, even without Jamie, who's heading off to her trip to Spain on Friday. Wendy Ying of the Driving Radio Show is filling in on Friday, and she wants to attempt it again. Although she did say to me last night, she said, I just can't do it as good as Jamie, and I do not have a Southern accent. I said, no, you definitely don't have a Southern accent. But I said, I can't do it as good as Jamie either. We're just going to have to do our best. So we will push through on Friday.
Wow.
Really bad ad. And isn't it nice
one thing
to be
I'm
known
good at.
Good? You're good for one thing in the world, Jamie. Isn't that nice to be known for reading
really,
you know, crappy ads.
And the job offers and the money just pours in every time I read really bad ads. So what an awesome skill to have. Not really.
Well, the winner this week will get a Redmond Rock gift pack. Redmond Rock is one of our popular prizes here that we have on the show. It's from RedmondEcline.com. It's a mineral of rock. I would say it's a block, but they don't process it. It comes out looking like a rock. They just chip it out of the ground. It has 60 different minerals in it. That's terrific for your horse. It has the salt and all the minerals that your horses need. Our horse absolutely loves it. We had to buy a new Redmond Rock about a half gone already. He really should have a bloody tongue is what he should have from licking this rock so much, but they love this stuff. They get their intake of salt and other minerals because it tastes so good to them. And you can find more information about Redmond Rock at RedmondEcline.com. It's for sale at most tack shops across the country. If you see it, buy it. You'll never go back to those processed white blocks again. At Redmond Rock, coming up this Friday. Get your ads in to Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com. Well, because I have to get to my crappy list because I haven't gotten to it the last couple of weeks, and I got a good crappy list today. Just tell us real quick what happened to the doggy who ate the chicken bones.
She's actually sitting right behind me right now, sleeping comfortably. Nothing happened. I did give her the bread and the oil, which the vet said to go ahead and give her. And so far, so good. Now, I have to watch her. Yeah, I love this. This is being a dog owner. I have to watch her stools today and make sure that they're not bloody, but he thinks she's going to be fine if she was able to eat them and is not having any problems now. But again, I'm supposed to watch for her stools. Sounds awesome, huh?
Yeah,
I'm jealous,
that's
aren't
a
you?
Fun, that's a fun Wednesday right there. That's
yeah, really my watch Wednesday. For her stool. So I know I have to follow her around as soon as we go outside after the show because I know that's when her time comes, so I have to go look at her poo. But otherwise, she's okay.
All right,
thanks,
good.
Thanks, everybody,
glad to hear
for
that.
The advice.
Glad to hear that. Do I need to call back here before I do my crappy list, guys?
No, I think you're okay.
Okay.
Every once in a while you fade out, so I just may fill in the blanks there.
Okay. All right, crappy list. Then we have a guest, ton of news, lots of things coming up on today's show. But crappy list today, actually, Jennifer found, it's strange horse laws. And we've all seen these before, except I haven't seen some of these. So I have some strange horse laws for you. A crappy list that involves horses. It can't get any better than that. So here we go. In London, England, there's a law that requires taxi drivers to carry a bale of hay on top of their cabs to feed their horses. And that law was in force until 1976. Now, I don't think they really enforced the law, but can you imagine one of those cute taxis in England riding around with a bale of hay on top?
Yes, it's probably because Black Beauty, because they were hungry and oppressed.
Starving.
And so in Black Beauty, they because of that book, they were like, we need the cab horses to have hay. And so thanks again to Black Beauty. Too bad it's not enforced anymore.
Well, I got to tell you, though, this one applies to you directly, Jamie. And that is the next time you go through a hotel lobby in Arizona, do not wear your spurs because that is illegal. So keep that in mind.
I think I've actually heard that one before. And so, if you hear the jingle jangle, cowboys are not allowed to wear their spurs in a hotel lobby. Why not? I mean, you don't want to squat on them, so might as well not wear them.
In South Carolina, it is legal for adult males to discharge. Listen to this one closely. In South Carolina, it is legal for adult males to discharge firearms when approaching an intersection in a non-horse vehicle to warn oncoming horse traffic. So did they used to ride up to the intersection and shoot their guns to warn people that they were coming in their
early
car?
I don't know. That sounds pretty stupid.
Yeah, I know. But it makes me wonder if that was actually a problem, that there had to be a law. A misworded ordinance in Wolf Point, Montana says no horse shall be allowed in public without its owner wearing a halter.
That's like a really bad ad. In misplaced punctuation.
That's true. In South Carolina, no horses are allowed into the Fountain Inn unless they are wearing pants.
That makes good sense.
I know, and I wonder if they have to be wearing riding pants or do they have to be wearing diapers? I don't know. It just says pants. In Raton, New Mexico, it is illegal for a woman to ride horseback down a public street with a kimono on. So no Japanese kimonos riding down the public streets in New Mexico. Not allowed. In Omega, New Mexico, every woman must be found to be wearing a corset when riding a horse in public. A doctor is required to inspect each woman to make sure she is complying with the law. How the hell did you get that job? There was 100 guys lined up when that went in the paper.
Hold up. You know what's really sad is that these laws go into effect because something happened at least once.
Hey, right.
Like somebody used to ride down the street with a kimono, not wearing a corset, and they're like, we got to end this. No more kimonos and everybody must wear a corset. Oh, poor women.
Now, have you ever worn a corset?
Hell no. I mean, the closest I ever got to a corset was a wedding dress, but I didn't even have a corset on there. I just had a dress.
It's very uncomfortable. Pennsylvania lost, because I know because we used to do the Renaissance thing and they all complained about it. They all complained about it at the Renaissance fairs because every one of them had to wear corsets. Pennsylvania law states.
Okay?
Mine was perfect. Pennsylvania law states any motorist who sights a team of horses coming toward him must pull well off the road, cover his car with a blanket or canvas that blends in with the countryside, and let the horses pass. If the horses appear skittish, the motorist must take his car apart piece by piece and hide it under the nearest bushes.
That's ridiculous.
Don't you wish you got that much respect when you were riding your horse today? In the state of Queensland,
right?
Australia, it is a constitutional law that – I love Australia. It is still a constitutional law that all pubs, hotels, and bars must have a railing outside for patrons to tie up their horse.
Love it.
That's perfect. Yep. They do that in Horsetown, USA, there in California.
Yes. I got to tell you, when I ride my horses up to the little country store that's 1.6 miles away, and they have a stall outside.
Oh, really?
And you just basically take your bridle off, leave your horse in the stall. And I take all my kids there all the time and my students, and we ride up there and get ice cream. But what happened is Joe Montana chewed the saddle of the pony, and so now Joe Montana has to be tied up to the hitching rail because he ate the saddle. Teeth marks all in this kid's saddle. She was really mad.
Let's see here. Albadine, Kansas. City Ordinance 349 declares any person who shall in the city of Albadine shoot a horse with a concealed or unconcealed bean snapper or like article shall upon be convicted and fined. What is a bean snapper?
What is Albadine? Whatever you said, it's Abilene. Don't you know that
Abilene
country song?
Oh, yeah. Abilene, Kansas. But what is a bean snapper? I have no idea what a bean snapper. Okay, one of our regulars who always posts on there, we want to know what a bean snapper is, because apparently you're not allowed to shoot a horse with it in Kansas.
Nobody knows. This is from, like, 1492, okay? I mean, geez.
And Shay is in the house, our friend and musician and fiddler. By the way, Shay, did you hear we played one of your songs yesterday? She says it is legal to ride a horse while under the influence in Colorado. She said, there goes my Colorado pastime. So there you go. Marshallton, Iowa. It is illegal and against the law for a horse to eat a fire hydrant. Once again, we come back to the fact that this must have happened for it to become law. Were they
exactly
made out of hay? What were they made out of? Carrots? In Maysville, West Virginia, the law says anyone meeting a horse and buggy on the road must bow from the waist. Oh, there you go.
Heck yeah.
You don't get
bow to me.
You don't get. You know what happens now? Jamie rides his horse down a mile and a half to the feed store. People are giving her the finger the whole way. That's the new bow in modern times.
Yeah, that's nice.
In Hartsville, Illinois, you can be arrested for riding an ugly horse. Isn't that subjective, by the way?
How do they enforce that? Come on now.
Yeah. And who is the one that determines whether it's an ugly horse or not? I mean, people drive those square cars that I think are so ugly, but some people love them. That just
I don't know. There's. I think if you're riding an ugly horse, you know it.
You think so?
I think so. I think so.
Hey, the couple of things. That's the end of my horse law. We'll get a couple news stories, and then we'll go to our first guest here. One is that last year we talked about this, too. Every year they reenact the Pony Express ride that goes from New Mexico to Carlsbad, California. And that starts this Saturday. It's a 14-day ride that begins at the Western Heritage Museum Complex and the Lee County Cowboy Hall of Fame, and will conclude on June 8th when the riders reach California. They carry a sack of mail, and you can actually, it's too late now, but every year they have people that actually pay money to have their mail in the bags that are carried on that 14-day ride. It's really cool. We had a guest on, I believe, last year about it, but that starts this Saturday and it's heading out. So if you see one of them riding by with the mail from the Pony Express, make sure to bow from the waist and hide your car underneath a camouflage tarp.
Exactly. Take it apart. Take it apart. Speaking of vehicles, we had talked about the Kentucky Horse Park. The Kentucky Horse Park Foundation was trying to get a new vehicle, and Toyota's giveaway 100 cars for good contest this past weekend. And unfortunately, the horse park came in second place to the Cincinnati Zoo. It was a nationwide vote, and apparently there was 4,000 applications. So they were at least the second out of 4,000 that did receive a cash donation from Toyota in recognition of being a finalist. So they said, well, while we did not win the truck, we were touched and humbled to receive so much support from so many of our friends. So unfortunately, didn't get the car, but did make some cash, so that's not too bad.
Hey, I'm looking at the picture that I just saw the picture that was posted of you pouring champagne over Chad in your dress. You look nice. I always see the back, but seeing you in a dress at all is something.
Yeah, I've got a couple more. But I thought that one was the most appropriate one. I did not break the champagne on the jet, and I just wanted you to see that.
Yeah, and Chad, I can't see Chad's face. I can't see whether he's about ready to kill you or happy with that whole thing. I can't see.
Oh, Lord, who knows? Probably a little bit of both. Hey, one more news story before we get to the ad and our next guest. So Secretariat, remember he was born at a place called Meadow Farms, I believe it was in Virginia. And Meadow Farms was highlighted, obviously, in the movie Secretariat, and they showed where he was born in that little foaling stall, and everybody was sitting there watching him, and he stood up real quick, and it was really sweet. Well, the farm has just been sold for $5.35 million. The reason
wow.
it was sold is because it was in foreclosure. And
really?
The reason, yeah, this is really sad, actually. I guess the 360-acre Meadow Event Park site was purchased by the Tennessee Fairs. The State Fair of Virginia had acquired the Meadow Farm in 2003 for $5.3 million and moved the annual fair to this site. So I guess they took $80 million in financing from creditors, and they defaulted on their loan. So they're having to liquidate everything to try to pay back all the people that they borrowed $80 million. If you borrow $80 million, you better have a pretty strong business plan because you're screwed otherwise. So somebody just bought Secretariat's farm. They were liquidating that, bought it for pretty much the asking price, which is $5.35 million. So just so you know, the foaling shed and the yearling barn on this farm are still preserved. And they do have, like, a big plaque outside that says it was where Secretariat was born. And I do believe – I think he's buried at Claiborne Farms, though, so he's not buried there. But it has the whole thing, and you can go see it, apparently. But, you know, don't take my word for it. Now that it's got new owners, who knows what they're going to do with it.
I hope they preserve the history of it. And I'm sure if you're paying that kind of money, you're going to preserve the history of it. They would understand the value, you know, the sentimental value of that, if nothing else.
Yeah, absolutely. And they don't say who bought it, but it was just the State Fair had purchased it before. So anyway, it's for sale. Could have been yours. I'm sorry we didn't highlight it on the horses in the morning. You know, you might have had a chance at it if we'd have let you know, but I didn't know. I'm sorry.
I know. So. Well, you still can buy Padua Farm coming up next week if you're in the market.
Exactly. That option
All right.
is coming up.
Amazon.com is our sponsor today. If you're buying anything at Amazon, hop on over to Horses in the Morning first. Click on the Amazon link on the left side of the page, and that'll take you over to Amazon. It's one extra click, and what happens is we get a little bit of credit for anything you buy at Amazon, whether it's horse stuff or anything else you buy. It doesn't matter what you buy.
UltraGuard is cheapest. It is cheapest. Go to horsesinthemorning.com and then click on the little Amazon button, and then it'll take you straight to Amazon and type in UltraGuard, and it's like $28 a tube as opposed to $34 a tube. It's way cheaper. I always get it there. Have you been getting my checks, Glenn?
Yeah, I guess so. We get a check, and I can't quite tell who's buying what, but we do get a check, and Amazon is kind enough to do that for us. So it's a way to help support the show. If you enjoy what you listen to, just now I'm sounding like a PBS commercial for public radio. But if you enjoy the programming here at Horses in the Morning, you can stop by our Amazon link, and it will help support us so we can keep Jamie on the air and going on fancy trips to Spain. That is what we try and accomplish here at Horses in the Morning. So stop by, click on us first. It doesn't cost you anything extra. Just do an extra step, click on us first, go buy stuff. I did it this morning. I had to order some stuff through Amazon. Stopped on over there first so I could even get credit on everything I buy. So we appreciate your support with anything you buy at Amazon. And now there's something coming up here that's a little bit different than anything you've heard about before, but it helps to solve a problem that every horse person has. And that problem is accounting. We hate doing accounting. We hate doing books. We hate doing anything that involves finances because that takes you out of the barn. And all horse people hate doing anything that takes us out of the barn. And I'm sorry, there may be exceptions to that rule out there, but I have found very few horse people, ourselves included, that love doing that kind of thing. Well, Amanda is here to talk to us about an option that she has put together through EQ Ready Records that helps horse owners. So let's talk to Amanda. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
Good to talk to you, and I'm excited to hear about what you have going here because this is an age-old problem for horse people, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and let me just clarify that we don't really do accounting as far as money. We do the accounting of all of the horse information.
Okay.
So basically, so I just wanted to clarify that. Basically,
okay.
What we do is we consolidate and maintain all of your horse's important information and put them together in one spot and make it available to you, the horse owner, via your online account, kind of like your bank account when you log into www.wellsfargo.com or whatever you have, and you put in your username and password, and all of your account information is right there. We do the same thing just with your horse information.
Now, how is this different? There are some software programs that do
mm-hmm.
that out there. How is this mm-hmm. different? What exactly is the process?
The process is we do all of the legwork. We do all of the data entry. We work with the service providers like your veterinarians, your farriers, your dentists, all of those people, your trainers. We actually go get the information from them, and we are the ones actually sitting behind the computer all day inputting all of this data. So you, the horse owner, all you have to do is look at it whenever you need it.
And I assume
so
what happens is they sign a letter or something that gives your vet permission to talk
mm-hmm.
to you guys?
Yes. Just yeah. like, you know, well, I mean, it's just the same way as if, you know, I've worked for vet clinic for about 10 years now, and, you know, it's just the same way people call in or other vets call in because, you know, I don't know that many horse people that use only one vet. It's almost impossible. You know, they call in and, you know, you just have a written statement stating that this vet authorizes the release of this information to this person. And we operate under the same, you know, statutes as a vet would, you know, the whole client confidentiality relationship. You know, I mean, we do not release that information by no means to anybody unless you give us the same written statement stating that we can do that, like if you were to sell a horse or something like that. So
what are all the different records that you guys will keep track of?
We keep track of everything from feeding, medication, breeding records, both stallion and mare, training histories, vaccinations, deworming, farrier, dentist, chiropractor, pretty much anything you can think of, we keep track of. We have places to keep x-rays on file if you wanted to pull up some digital x-rays that maybe you have had. We have copies of registration papers, copies of current coggins, pretty much everything that we could think of that you could possibly ever need on the fly, you know, we have included.
Now, so it is online in that I can, let's say you're doing this for us, and I can go online and see the records for my horses. One of the things that people always lose is the coggins because they can't find it. It's in a heap or it's on the dashboard with
mm-hmm.
the 20,000 other papers. And you
Time
know,
out. I was just, as you guys were discussing this, I was thinking, where is my coggins paper? I have no idea. I'm going to have to go to California next month. So totally. So do we submit all of this information to you, or do you get it from the vet and the feed store, the trainer, all that, or do we give it to you?
Well, I like all of the vet type information I get directly from the vet. They basically just email or fax me, you know, information, you know, copies of the coggins and all that.
Oh.
And then I just take that and put it in myself. But pretty much because their copies are the originals and they're going to be better than the yellow copy that you can barely read anyway.
No.
Now,
exactly.
But my question
yeah,
is, then, if I'm the horse owner, to follow that up, follow Jamie's question up, if I'm the horse owner and I can't find my Coggins, and I know I can do, can I just hop online and print it out? Do you have it up there where I can just print it out, or do we have to contact you?
No. You hop on there and you can print it out.
Oh, cool. And I could do that from anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere. Anywhere you have a internet connection, you can do that. So, and the same goes with registration papers. You know, a lot of people, maybe you're out and about and the opportunity arises, you know, hey, you know, I'd like to buy your horse. You got a copy of his papers. I'd like to look at him. Well, most of us are like, no. So, but this way you can pull it up easily and print it out, and then they can have that to take with them. So it might save you a little time as far as, you know, if you were trying to sell a horse or something along those lines as well.
Who do you find of your customers currently most benefits from this? What type of customer?
Usually the people that are kind of in between, not necessarily the small horse owners with one or two horses that they pledge to ride every now and then, but kind of the middle of the line breeding farms, like have 20, 25 head of horses, you know, 8 or 10 brood mares, maybe got a couple in training here and there. Those are the typically the people that are not quite big enough to have somebody on staff full time, you know, that does all of their paperwork in that. But yet they have obviously enough money invested in it that they really need somebody to do that for them, and not necessarily having to pay somebody, you know, an hourly wage. So kind of the middle of the road people. Or people that travel a lot, you know, maybe they only have one or two horses, but they're traveling all over the country showing. Those kind of people, because they're showing, I know, like the rodeo guys, they may be in California one day and Houston the next, and in between times their Coggins runs out. By the time they get to Houston, the guy said, oh, your Coggins is out, so we need to quarantine your horse for 10 days. Well, you know, it would have been so nice for somebody to email them or text them, say, hey, by the time you get to Houston, you're going to need a Coggins. You might as well stop off and grab one.
Do you do that?
On your way.
Do you do alerts like that?
Yeah. We do send, you know, we'll email or text reminders, you know, so-and-so's due this month for vaccinations, which I know a lot of the vets do. But the cool thing about us is that since we have all the information from all the vets in one spot, we're a little bit more accurate, because all the vet has is their own information. You know, that if you took your horse somewhere else, they don't necessarily have that information, especially if they had vaccinations done. So by having it all in one spot, it's a little bit more accurate, and it allows you to keep on top of it.
I can see too, if you have an emergency, you're at a show, you have an emergency vet and he needs to see records, can they pull it up on their phones? Is there a phone app?
Yes. There's not technically a phone app that is in the works, but you can view it on your phone. You know, just like you would any other website, you can view it on your phone.
And how do people get started? Obviously, there's a cost involved. Can you just explain how that's broken down?
How it's broken down is we have an initial setup fee, which basically which is kind of the biggest part of it, because that's the most work, obviously, which basically consists of us going and getting all of your information, getting pictures of the horses, because we put, you know, kind of like to put names with faces, because that's another issue that people have run into. If you got 5 sorrel geldings, sometimes it's hard to tell them apart. So we go out, we take pictures, we get all of the information, we compile it, we put it together, set up the account, and then kind of go from there. We only charge, it's a $10 a month fee to be able to access your information. That's unlimited access, that's all your technical support, that's all of the computer stuff. And then as far as the updating, that's billed on a month-per-month basis. We broke it up that way because some people, you know, if you're breeding, you're going to have more data coming through to be updated, you know, during the month of January to June than you are in the fall. So that way you only pay for what you actually use.
Okay.
So kind of like a CPA, you know. They only charge
what's
you
the
for
best, right. What time you're using of theirs, pretty much.
Yeah.
So this is really what I would correlate it to. Then to wrap up, is it's really like having a personal assistant almost.
Yes, without having to pay them, you know, an hourly wage all year.
So, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
And where can people find out more about it and get started?
You can visit us at eqreadyrecords.com, or you can give us a call at 888-281-8869. And well, we can get you set up, so.
EQReadyRecords.com, and I think it's a great idea. I think it's I think that this is taking new technology to the next level and allowing somebody that's remote to keep track and help be your personal assistant, which I think is kind of cool, at a much less of a rate than you're going to pay to hire somebody full-time. So I like it. Well, thank you, Amanda. EQReadyRecords.com.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well,
I got to find my Coggins.
I know. You got to look for that. If you have EQ Ready Records, you could just pull it up and print it.
I know. That's awesome. What a great idea.
It has to be the thing that horse people panic about the most is when they need their Coggins, they can't find it. That has to be one of the biggest things right there.
I mean, I was listening. I'm like, people keep track of this stuff? Like, really? That's awesome.
All right. Let's do our song. We have a Marianne Kennedy one we've never heard before from her, off of her This Love of Horses CD. It's called Two Leaves. That's from Marianne Kennedy.
Big oak tree was a horse.
I know to leave. You are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. That song just put me to sleep. Two Leaves by Marianne Kennedy, off her Love of Horses CD, MarianneKennedy.com. Today's show is brought to you by Amazon.com. Did I forget anything, Glenn?
No, I think you covered it all. So we're going to be coming up with the horse here shortly, talking about some health stuff. But first, we have some other news stories. It's a ton of news today. We have to, like, fly through it. Apparently, I'll have another very happy horse up there settled into New York quite well. And apparently, he looks fantastic. He's eating well. He's enjoying all of the publicity and all the people taking his picture and apparently doing quite well. They're very happy with him and quite excited about the prospect coming up here in a couple of weeks.
It's going to be awesome. It's so time for a Triple Crown challenger. You know, it's been, I think the last horse was Big Brown, and we just haven't had kind of the whole build up to it. And Glenn, if you text me the results, I will have your head. Nobody text me. Nobody post it on my Facebook. I'm going to be flying back in, and I'm going to record it, and I'm going to go home. I'm not going to turn on the news, and I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to watch it, and I don't want to hear from any of you.
You better not turn on the radio on the way home. Nothing. You better just put some earplugs in your ears and sing La 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 really loud as soon as you get off the plane.
I'm going to rock to my iPod, and I swear to God, if that pilot, I'm going to talk, because we're going to be in the air. And I'm going to go to the flight attendant. I'm going to say, listen, do not have this pilot come over the speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd just like to let you know, for those of you who have been following, we have a Triple Crown. But I will come unglued. They will have to remove me from the airplane.
You know what I found interesting, too, is I'll have another, obviously a three-year-old, and he's the son of Flower Alley. Well, I just got to thinking, who the heck is Flower Alley? And I looked him up, and he actually is a horse that was trained by Todd Pletcher that won $2.5 million over his career. And he now stands at, what farm is he at? Three Chimneys in Kentucky. But his fee was $7,500 in 2012. Do you think that's going up next year?
I would say that it's probably going to go up, but it's definitely going to go up contingent upon one more race.
Yeah.
So I'm sure the people at Three Chimneys are praying for a Triple Crown winner. So I'm almost afraid to even say the TCW again, because I don't want to jinx anything. But I do have, well, maybe I shouldn't tell you who I'm kind of pulling for as well, because then that'll just jinx them. Should I tell you or should I not tell you?
Oh, tell me. I want them jinxed so I'll have another win.
I'll tell you, but it's not going to jinx him, because apparently he's training like a bear. And that is the horse Street Life by Street Sense. So that is my unofficial pick, because I can't have the horse you picked because of the name win the Triple Crown. That's just crap. Do you know how long I'll hear about that? Like, I haven't heard it enough. Good God. It's all about me right now.
In case you forgot.
I'll have another Bony Meister photo finish. I'll have another.
Just in case you'd forgotten what happened.
I did not forget. I will hear that in my sleep for the rest of my life. So thank you very much. I appreciate it totally.
Well, that race to New York, and Jamie, is going to be run under a new ruling body, because you know how we talked about how the New York Racing Association was plagued in scandal, and they were having all these problems at the tracks, and they weren't doing anything about it, and it was just becoming a real issue for the Governor Cuomo up there. Well, Governor Cuomo yesterday took control of the horse racing in the state of New York. announcing he has created a new board to replace the Horse Racing Association, and they're hoping to get that mess under control. And it will be interesting to see when the new board takes place what they found that the old board was up to that hadn't come out yet. That should be interesting.
No kidding. Yeah. Ooh, that sounds pretty juicy. I wonder if, like, the Rick Dutrow situation and all this kind of stuff has anything to do with it.
There's news on that, too. He was in court yesterday with his appeal at an official court now this time. They're at the real courts. And he's claiming that he was railroaded by one of the members of the New York Racing Association, and so he's asking that his 10-year suspension in New York be dropped because they were just out to get him.
You know, I have actually heard that from other people that are kind of in the business, and apparently lots of people are out to get them. But if somebody's out to get you and there's a lot of people that are out to get you, it's probably because you need to be got. You know what I mean?
And there were – he has had numerous suspensions over the years for rules violations and drugs and things. So this is not the first time. It's not like it's the first time this has come up. This is an ongoing issue with him.
Exactly. I've got a really awesome news story for you that I just found on horsenation.com. And apparently the ESPN sports writer, his name is Bill Finley. And he came up with some math to find out just how the odds are on All Have Another winning the Triple Crown. He goes on to say, All Have Another is a very good, talented, and consistent colt and has chased away Bodie Meister, the only horse that seems capable of giving him a fight. On the surface, he should be a heavy favorite to win the Belmont Stakes and break the Triple Crown drought that has been ongoing since 1978. Or should he? He goes on to write down that the odds of All Have Another winning the Triple Crown was 20,000 to 1. 20,000 to 1. What do you think about that?
I'll have another Bowie Meister photo finish! I'll have another!
That's what I think about that right there.
He says, you want me to read how he came up with 20,000 to 1? It's just one paragraph.
Sure. All right.
A horse's odds, and this is his words like at the bottom of the article, a horse's odds give you the best estimate of their chances to win. For instance, by a horse making even money, the betting public has decided that it has a 50-50 shot or 50% chance of winning the race. A 1-5 shot has an 83% chance and a 17% chance of losing, but this does not take into account the takeout, which would alter the percentages but make the calculations way more messy and confusing. Based on the odds, I multiplied the chances of each horse losing by one another, and I came up with the chances of each and every Triple Crown hopeful since 1978 losing at 1 in 19,608. Or 19,608 to 1.
Okay.
The guy is a nerd.
Yeah, that's
you,
geek.
My friend, are a nerd.
That goes
Lord.
Beyond geek. Yeah, you're right. That gets into nerd territory there. Coming up, starting tomorrow on May 24th, is the oldest and largest multi-breed outdoor equine show in the United States. It's also a country fair, and where is it? It's at the Devon Horse Show in Pennsylvania, right outside of Philadelphia. It's the Devon Horse Show and Country Fair. It's their annual show. It started 116 years ago. It goes for 11 days. They expect an average of 100,000 visitors, and that's what they expect this year because the weather apparently is pretty good up there right now. And it's also this year going to be hosting the U.S. Show Jumping Team Observation Events, part of the qualifying process used to select the 2012 U.S. Olympic team in show jumping. So that first observation event is the Grand Prix at 8 p.m. on May 31st, and the second is the Idle Dice Stakes at 4 p.m. on June the 2nd. So that is coming up at the Devon Horse Show. Did you ever get a chance to go there?
No, I never went to Devon.
Devon's an interesting place because it's a horse show ground that's like packed around, you know, it's just a compact horse show ground that's surrounded by houses and things and roads, major roads and everything. So it's this place that just when you walk in seems like a different world than where you just came from. And it's a very quaint atmosphere. It's I can honestly say I've never been to a horse show like it. in its atmosphere. It is different. And, of course, they hold the big dressage show there every year. It is a really a cool event to see once. It's just neat the way it's set up there. Parking's a pain, but once you get in, you're good to go.
good. Hey, before we get to the horse.com, just to let everybody know that the RidersForHelmets.com teamed up with all the leading helmet manufacturers, and they're going to have the third year in a row for International Helmet Awareness Day, and it's going to be next month, June 9th. It's a Saturday. Now, what's really awesome about this is you get discounts on helmets.
That's right. And it's usually 10, 20%, I think. And actually, Lindsay, who is the organizer for the Riders for Helmets campaign, is going to be on with us, I think, this week sometime. So later in the week, we're going to hear from her, and she'll give us more details on that.
Good
also,
deal. That's such a great organization. I love it.
Equestrians for 26 nations are going to be at the Paralympics in London this year. That's kind of cool, and you know how we feel about the Paralympics. We're going to try. There are four riders that have qualified from the United States. We're going to try and get them on the show here. I thought we'd try and do a para show one morning and try and get all the riders on if we can at the same time. So I'm going to work on that. And they participate. The Paralympics has 21 sports over 17 days, and they go from August the 30th to September 4th. Is the equestrian events there at Greenwich Park. And the host nation, Great Britain, Germany, Denmark, and Canada have qualified the maximum number of riders and will be represented by four on the team and one individual. And then nine countries, including the United States, have qualified four different riders. So you can look for coverage of that, I am sure. Well, as we get more information about where you can see the para equestrian games, we'll let you know as we get down the pike here.
Good deal. Well, we've got Michelle from thehorse.com on. And Michelle, I love today's topic because I think it's so relatable to everybody. First of all, good morning.
Good morning, Jamie.
Great to have you on with us.
Good morning.
And,
Hi.
So I guess we're going to have to wait a couple minutes for Dr. Jones, but you can kind of tell everybody what's going on at thehorse.com.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned today's topic, and that is health of horses that are kept in barns. But some other stuff we have going on while we're waiting for Dr. Jones, we just archived our common skin conditions, Ask the Vet Live from last week. You can find it. There's a link on the homepage. We covered some really great stuff with Dr. Christine Reese and Dr. Scott Pierce. Christine Reese is a veterinary dermatologist, and she had some great ideas for helping your horses through insect hypersensitivity, which was our topic last week on Horses in the Morning, and also some insight into some other equine skin conditions that we all deal with these things. My horse, I didn't ride this weekend, actually both of my horses, because they had a reaction to those little nasty biting flies. I was like, I should have listened to my own Ask the Vet Live and gotten the fly spray on them sooner. So we lunged instead of riding, which was a bummer because weekends are the best time to ride for those of us who work full-time. So anyway, we do have that on thehorse.com. Lots of great news. We're following the Tennessee walking horse soaring issue, which is getting a lot of interest on Facebook and elsewhere. If people are looking for news articles about that whole mess, maybe I'm editorializing by calling it a mess, but about that, we have those on thehorse.com.
I don't think that I would consider that editorializing. That is,
I'm supposed to be unbiased.
Yeah, it's a disaster. What is kind of the general consensus over there at thehorse.com? And then I want to talk a little bit about your sister network. I don't know if it's a network, but your sister publication, The Blood Horse. But what is the general consensus over there about this whole crap?
Well, we really do try to stay unbiased. The videos, I think, speak for themselves. We talked a lot about how graphic the videos are. They make my heart hurt watching them. But, you know, we have a legal process and we have good solid reporting that's talking to both sides. And yeah, so we're all horse people. I mean,
Yeah.
So, but we're also journalists, so.
Well, I'm sure you'll do the right thing there. But hey, the other thing I want to talk to you about is you guys are sister publications with the Blood Horse, which is obviously horse racing, kind of like it is horse racing in the form of a magazine. If you want to know anything about horses, you go to bloodhorse.com or get the magazine. Now, what is their take on the Triple Crown potential?
Yeah, so thanks for asking me about horse racing.
Uh-oh.
Remembering that I'm out in Oregon, and it's so funny because I do spend quite a bit of time in Lexington now, and our company, we do have Blood Horse, we're Blood Horse Publications, owns the horse, and I am learning about horse racing because that's just not something that we see much of over here in Oregon.
Yeah.
But if you get on there, you know, we have some great video footage. You know, the guys get on and say their picks, and lots of great coverage over on Blood Horse. I've been keeping up. I get Blood Horse every week now. I've flipped through it,
Michelle,
and I'm learning about the racing industry.
Do they not have television in Oregon? Is that what I'm understanding? Is there no NBC coverage, no ESPN, no nothing?
I know. We're out here in the boonies. No, we do. We do watch, you know, the Triple Crown races, for sure. And there are diehard race fans out here, but the culture is not quite what it is there in Lexington. Although you're in Arizona and you're obviously following, so.
Well, I've kind of been passionate about it and been a fan since I was young. So when I was in Atlanta, that was like the only kind of like connection to horses that weren't in my, you know, that wasn't my pony. So it was like, this was my connection to the world to watch horse racing on national television. Oh my gosh. And I remember I was at summer camp when Easy Goer ruined Sunday Silence's bid for the Triple Crown in the 80s. And my mom taped it for me and I watched it when I got home, much like what's going to happen this year, Glenn, because nobody's going to text me the results of the Belmont Stakes, because I'll be on an airplane, and if I land and I get the results, I'm going to be pretty mad.
Oh, no. But, you know, I think you bring up a great point, though, that for people who maybe don't have a lot of contact with horses, horse racing is kind of one of those gateways into the horse industry, because you're watching these beautiful horses run, and they're spectacular, even if you don't follow racing closely like me. I probably shouldn't admit that, should I? They always, and I have to say the horse, you know, everyone at Blood Horse follows racing. I mean, they are big time fans. I'm kind of the odd man out as a new person, just getting into following the stuff, and they look at me like I'm from a different planet. So.
Oh, yeah.
Michelle, there's only one thing you have to know coming up this weekend.
I'll have another Bowie Meister photo finish.
Nice.
I'll have another.
That's all you have to know coming up.
Yes.
Call
okay.
I'm waiting on that.
He's right there.
Waiting on that. My God. Well, hey, let's get to Dr. Jones here. I got it.
Hey, Dr. Jones.
Uh-oh. Just lost.
Uh-oh.
Her. Holy moly.
Is she missing? Well, we'll get her back. Well, I'm going to kind of introduce our topic today because it's this barn health, keeping your horses healthy in the barn. And part of this topic comes up because I don't actually have my own barn. And as a horse owner with horses on my own property, it's like this thing that I need my own barn. I have loafing sheds. My horses have protection from the weather on three sides. I have another shed that I keep my tack in and grain and hay. But it feels like I'm not a complete horse person without a barn. So I wanted to talk to Dr. Jones a little bit today about whether or not I should feel inadequate because I don't have my own barn.
Girlfriend, I don't have a barn either. And we got Dr. Jones on with us right now. So hello, Dr. Jones.
Good morning, everybody. How you guys doing?
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, Dr. Jones, we're talking about horses' health in the barns, and Jamie and I were I was lamenting that I don't have my own barn on my own property, and Jamie is saying that she doesn't either. So, Jamie, do you have loafing sheds? Is that how you keep your horses?
Well, we call them here in Arizona, they're called mare motels. And basically it's a shade cover, and then you've got basically like panels. They're in the ground. They're not like the portable panels that are junky. They're just metal like stalls. So you've got these stalls and then a cover over them, but you can't really wall in the horses in Arizona because it gets too hot. So that's kind of how the barns are here. But yes, I miss sweeping my shed row. And I miss, you know, walking up and down the barn aisle and hearing the horses eat because they're all kind of spread out in a couple different places.
That's true, I do miss
having a barn, but maybe we're better off, and we're going to find that out from Dr. Jones.
Yeah, so Dr. Jones, should we feel bad that we don't have barns?
Boy, you guys are really putting me into a corner here. What if I say something you don't like?
That's
are you
okay.
Just gonna hang up on me?
Then I need to talk to my husband about building this dream barn.
Oh,
amen.
Then you can have your husband after me.
You can take him.
So is it healthier for a horse to be in a barn or outside?
Outside.
That's the question.
Outside, definitely. The horses, you know, I mean, look at their lifestyle when they were, you know, prior to being completely domesticated. How did they spend their life? Outside. So horses, when they graze, this is the behavior part, doula, and I'm not a behaviorist, but this is the behavior side of the horses. When they graze, they'll take a bite to eat, and they'll take a few steps. And they'll take a few more bites to eat, and then they take a few steps. That's why pastures get torn up more with horses than they do with cattle, because cattle will stand in one place, and they basically graze in a half circle around themselves. And they might move off somewhere else and graze in a half circle, and then they'll lay down and chew their cud. So they're not constantly moving on the pasture or eating the grass. And so the moving on the pasture and eating the grass, both the movement of the hoof digging up the grass as they move and the chewing of the grass tears up a pasture faster with a horse than it does with a cow or a steer. So for a horse to stand in the stall and eat hay in one place, quite boring for them. And also not really good for their joints because they should be eating and moving. So that's the biggest reason to have them out is they can graze 24/7 and they can move around just like they did in the wild. It's more towards their behavior.
So I still would like to have a barn. And convince my husband that we need to build one. So what are some of the reasons that you may need a stall or that horses may need to be kept in a barn?
Number one reason from a veterinary standpoint is injury. They might need to be stalled for an injury reason because these horses are like two-year-olds no matter what age they are. They act like two- and three-year-olds, and they don't pay attention to you when you say quit running in the pasture. So if they have a tendon or ligament or some sort of bony incident, they need to stay a little quieter or maybe just small movement, like a small paddock outside the backside of the stall, that would be a really good reason to have them stalled up. If they need medications for an eye, you have an eye lavage system in. You put them out in a pasture, they're going to probably rub it on a tree. It's easier to rub it on a tree than maybe a post inside their stall and break that eye lavage system. So it's not just necessarily a leg wound or a sports medicine injury that they need to be stalled up for. It may also be for an eye injury or post-surgical colic. You can't have them running around after you've had their abdomen completely cut open and then rip the sutures open and, you know what happens after that. So, you can imagine what happens after that. So injury would be the number one reason. Another reason we talked about last week is the flybite allergy. The easiest way I found to fix my mare's flybite allergy issue was putting her in a stall. I put her in the stall during heavy feeding times and put a fan on her. It worked out beautifully. Then, other reasons, those that get sunburned on their nose, they might be better off underneath some shade during the high sun times, especially Arizona area. So that's another good reason to have them in.
I'll tell you what, my little guy Jet has a very white, like his blaze kind of covers his whole nose. And he's got pink skin there, and the poor little guy gets the worst sunburn in the world. So he does stay in his stall all day long. The other reason that I stall that horse, that he stands in all day, is the fact that he is so food aggressive that I have to stall all the horses because they'll attack him at feeding time. So would you consider that another reason just to actually get them all fed?
Right, or a weight issue. I was out looking at a horse the other day. This gentleman's owned three horses, and there's one that had very was very thin, and I was out doing their dentals. Teeth were not in bad shape, so there's no reason why this horse is not gaining some weight. And I turned to him, I said, is this one low man on a totem pole? And he said, yes, he is. And I said, you're going to have to feed him separate. They're running him off from his food, aren't they? And he said, yes, they are. I said, he's not getting the groceries because they're running him off. So stalls are great to feed him separately, especially in a one that's being run off and it's not gaining some weight. Another reason is my example. I've got, we're guessing, a 30-some-odd-year-old pony. She's white. She is missing an eye because she had to have the eye removed due to glaucoma that was so painful. The other one now has significant cataracts, and when we go catch her out in the pasture, she balks from us even when we get up on top of her, so we're wondering if her hearing's going as well, but she can't see very well. We leave her out in the pasture all night. She's a white neon sign, come eat me coyotes. So we put her up at night because of the coyotes. She can't see, she can't hear, she's white in color, you know.
So. Yeah, well,
poor little thing. You're a good mama, by the way. Blind, deaf, one-eyed pony with just 100 years old. My God, you're a good woman.
Aren't those the horses that vets always end up with?
It is. My receptionist left me 8 years ago, and she said, I'm moving, and I think you need a pony. And I said, no, I do not need a pony. And next thing you know, I got a pony.
Well, and Jamie, a little earlier on this topic, you mentioned just management and how easy it can be to feed from the shed row. And as someone who has to go from paddock to paddock when it's, you know, 10 degrees out during the winter, it would be nice to have them inside. But do they need to be inside to stay warm, or are my horses, can I let go of the guilt and they're okay in their loafing sheds when it's really
when
cold
it's
out?
What's when really cold in Oregon?
When it's really cold, when it's below zero.
Below zero. Yeah. I had an older horse that he would spend the times out, and I'd come out there and he had icicles on his whiskers and stand in the snow, but I had a three-sided lean-to for him to get in to block the wind, and he also had a line of trees on one side of the pasture. I don't know if he really needed that three-sided. I used it for his hay and his grain so that it wouldn't get wet, and I could throw it in there, but he had a line of trees on the northern side of the pasture that he could get against and stay warm, and that's the big thing is blocking the wind. They just need an area that they can be blocked off from the wind and the rain. They don't have to have it above them, but they just don't need that driving cold wind, rain, and you're fine.
No.
So they don't have to actually be undercover. They just need a good wind block.
Okay. And you mentioned that, you know, being in a stall can be hard on horses because they naturally want to be moving. What are some of the other health issues that come up with horses that are stable that people should look out for?
Well, the webinar we did with the horse is the number one thing, and I think we've discussed it already on this morning program, is respiratory problems. You've got them locked up in a confined area that's got dust. I mean, we do our best to cut down on dust and cobwebs in a barn anywhere, and the next week you've got dust. So you get respiratory issues. The sawdust is dusty. Hay is dusty. So that's the number one thing is I would think of as the sawdust and the respiratory issues that they may get standing in a barn. The other thing is the lack of gregariousness, I guess. I'm not quite sure the word I could use here, where they're out with their buddies. So they get stressed. They may ulcer standing in a barn, or colic if they are fed too much hay. We've had that incident, unfortunately, in those that are up for medical reasons. You give them hay as a natural tranquilizer to keep them quiet because they tend to be a little bit anxious and have high anxiety level. Instead of tranquilizing them all day, you'll give them a little extra hay. Next thing you know, they're impacting and they're colicking because they're not moving. And when they move, their GI tract moves. Boredom, some stall weavers, cribbers, that kind of thing can start coming up. Chewing your wood in your stall because they don't have enough hay to eat. And then, of course, you know, those that are arthritic or older tend to stock up or get a little bit more ouchy when they move because their arthritis is setting in a little heavier, and the more we move, just like humans, there's, you know, older people are supposed to go out and walk the malls and take walks to kind of keep the joints moving. Same idea with horses too. They need to keep moving.
Yeah. So some of us do need to keep our horses in stalls or a stabled situation because we board or the size of our properties or whatever management issues that we we talked about earlier as far as health issues with the horses. So if they are in the stall, what can you do to make your horse more comfortable and keep them healthy in a stabled situation?
I guess have a turnout time. I know that sounds funny, but some training barns don't have turnout time for their horses. But I think they do have to have that turnout time where they can get down, roll, scratch, run around, get movement. If you're not doing that, you need to have them in a dedicated training program that's 5 to 6 days a week where they're out being ridden and have movement going on and have a job to do. So that would be the best scenario in a training situation, training barn situation.
Okay. Do you have anything else to add about stable health?
Well, I mean, I think you hit a really valid point there, and that's one thing we fight here in Florida is management. A lot of horses are stalled because of management. They keep them in the stall longer so they can get some grass growing on their pasture. And, you know, here in Florida we have sand, so it's easy to rip the grass out of the sand by just walking a horse across it. And next thing you know, you've got a dirt path. So keeping a horse up so that you can grow some grass in your pasture is a good idea as long as you give them time out on that pasture. But I'll have to, you know, not end, but, you know, make this comment that my one vet assistant that was working for me made a comment. She goes, why is it that people who have cattle have more land for their cattle than people with horses? And I thought that was kind of an interesting observation by her, is that when you drive by these huge pastures, huge pastures, all you see is a bunch of cattle on it, and then you'll see horses locked up in these little dirt lots. So it's kind of funny because really, it could probably work opposite that because the cattle wouldn't eat down the grass that fast in a little dirt lot or a little five-acre piece, but a horse definitely would be better off in a 30-acre pasture.
Yeah, and I have to say that some of us, you know, with who have maybe a treasured horse that might injure themselves if they're in a big space. Yes.
Because horse people can't afford that much land because they lose money on horses, where cattle people make money on their cattle, so they can afford that kind of crap.
That is an excellent point.
So it's the old phrase, if you want to make $1 million with a horse, start with $2 million?
Yeah.
Start with five. Start with five.
It's certainly a labor of love. We do love our animals, and we're in it because of our love and the hobby. Or maybe you might just say we're in it because we're diseased. But it's certainly not for a profitable turn of money, that's for sure.
No.
True.
Well, thank you.
True.
Well, I still think I need a barn, but
in bad weather, how about I'll end with this one, Michelle. In bad weather, your veterinarian won't cancel their veterinary appointment with you because you have a covering for the vet to work on your horse.
Yes, and when it's raining, there's a place for
too.
The farrier to put the shoes on, and and a place to keep your horse after they've been sedated to have their teeth done. There's lots of really great reasons that I can think of that I could really use a barn. But my horses are also happy outside. So.
We got caught in the rain the other day doing some teeth out in the pasture. So, I think having a covering would have been nice that night or that day. And then, of course, being able to back the truck back end up underneath a covering would be nice. Mm-hmm. So overhangs are always welcome at barns. So if you have, you know, a shed row barn, make sure that the end maybe doesn't have a stall in it. It's just an open bay that we could back the truck into so we're not running out in the rain to get more items out of our trucks. And same for the farrier.
So, well, if anyone's looking for more information on stabled horse health, we have a fact sheet I've put up on Facebook. It's also on thehorse.com. It's ammonia and respiratory health. Look that up and read about how you can decrease the levels of ammonia in your stall and increase ventilation to keep your horses healthy and not have those respiratory issues we can get inside stables.
Perfect. Well, you guys, thank you so much for coming on and
thanks.
Being a part. I love this topic because it's something that everybody can relate to, and I know I told you that already, but thank you guys very much, and we'll talk to you. Well, I won't talk to you for a couple weeks, but don't worry. Glenn will be here, so you'll get Glenn.
I'll be here. I am not going to Spain to ride Andalusians on the beach.
Oh, are you off to Spain now?
I leave for Spain on Friday. Gosh,
We'll be looking for pictures on Facebook.
Of you riding Andalusians on the beach.
Yes. It's so awesome. I'm so excited.
Well, have
all right,
fun.
Thanks, guys.
Have fun.
Talk
to you guys later.
On.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye. That's the thing is I don't tell anybody about this vacation because all they do is go, I'm like, Chad's like, just shut up, bragger. I'm like, it's awesome. I don't care.
I brought it up. You didn't bring it up. I brought it up. It's my fault.
Yeah. Yeah, you did it. I wasn't trying to mention it because then they just get,
Hey, I wanted to thank everybody that was in the chat room today. We really appreciate you being there. And hi to Ellen up there in New York City who gets her horse fixed with us every morning. So we appreciate that. And she said it's I wonder if Chad ever went to this. It is actually in New York this weekend. By the way, she said congratulations to Jamie and Chad on his promotion. It's Fleet Week and the Memorial Day celebration this weekend, and I've always wanted to see all the ships come in during Fleet Week. It sounds really cool. So she said that's going on up there right now. And, of course, Susan Nelson chimed in. We were hoping she would on the whole subject we had of what exactly is, let me see here, what exactly is a bean snapper? Yeah. Well, apparently it means something really bad, apparently, because she said we should never bring it up on the show again. But what they were referring to in the law is you put beans in your mouth and you blow them out through a little tube. So it's sort of like spitballs with beans.
Yeah, yeah. It'll take an eye out, though. But apparently, don't use the urban term for bean snapper. We should just never say it again, ever again. I didn't even Google it.
Being that I have no idea what she's talking about, I promise I will never say it again unless it's about shooting beans out of your mouth at horses in Iowa.
You'll probably blush. Yeah, you'll probably blush.
All right, thank you, everybody. We appreciate you being here today. Jamie's last day for a couple weeks tomorrow. We have some terrific co-hosts planned for you. Don't forget to get your really bad ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com and win your gift pack from Redmond Rock. Your horse will love you for it. And that's coming up on Friday. And that's about it. Say goodbye, Jamie.
Oh, goodbye, everybody. One more day. Stay neutered.
Two more sleep.
You should record me saying spay, neuter, yell to play it at the end of every show.
Okay.
When I'm gone.
I think I probably have a few recordings of that.